Isaiah, the 38th chapter. I want to keep Deacon Hawkins in prayer. He's not feeling well. And Sister Monica, she's not feeling well. And Reverend Palmer is on his way downtown, Baltimore. And Sister Hooper's not feeling well. I keep all the good to see Sister Mabel up in the house. And Leg. I know I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, but the cast is off, ain't it? Look at it. Looking strong. Is it coming along good? Nice, nice. Remember when my cast came off, my leg just floated away. It was all small and tiny. I didn't say that part. You said that. And when we need some flour, we know where to come. Amen. The book of Isaiah, the 38th chapter, starting with the very first verse. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. "Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. This is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps it has gone down on the stairway of Ahaz." So the sunlight went back the 10 steps it had gone down. I just want to talk from the subject, the heart of God. The heart of God. Now, what I want to pull your attention to is that in this particular text, Hezekiah was told he was going to die.
Yes, sir.
There's no question about it. There's no mixed words. He was going to die, and that word came from God himself. Now, if God tells you, you're going to die, it's a pretty safe bet that you're going to die. He said, "Now, I want you to tell him to get his house in order." All right, so that's letting you know that, look, I'm not just going to take you out. I'm letting you prepare because this illness you have is unto death.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so last week we came and we prayed. We prayed for healing amongst all of our members and even those who were not here. A few of the elders, and elders don't mean old, it means leaders, and it comes to the word of God, so you can be a 30-year-old elder. Amen. It don't mean elderly. It's elder as in leader. Amen. So we came, and a few of us were set apart, and we went before God, and we fasted. We gave up something that was dear to us because the process of trying to reach God is for God to hear from you and to move his heart in your direction. In other words, we know that God has his will and his will be done. But can his will be moved? And see, when you come before God and you come with sincere prayer and you are trying to move God's heart, you can't be fixed or focused on the same old stuff you've been doing.
Come on.
You got to do something a little bit different. And Hezekiah realized, because it don't say that when Hezekiah heard the death sentence that he broke down and said, you know, "Oh, Lord, that's it." No, the Bible says that when he heard the report, he knew it was true, but what he did was he turned to the wall and he began to what? Pray. Now, God's will was what? For him to die. Hezekiah's will was what? For him to live. So Hezekiah didn't say, Lord, if it be your will. One of the things that we concentrated on when we prayed was we wasn't asking what was God's will when we prayed over the sickness. We were trying to move God's heart in our direction. In other words, we was giving up something on behalf. And I tell you, I hope somebody got a healing or something come last week, because something showed it jump on me after it. And I said, well, look, I guess if I can take it on, I'd rather take it on. But Lord, don't let me feel this kind of pain unless somebody got some deliverance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. So our mindset was, when we have the healing service, is that we are not really trying to hear what God's will is at that particular point. What we want is to move his will in our direction. Hezekiah said, Lord, remember how I have walked before you faithfully and with a wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. So Hezekiah brings up his past relationship with God. See, a lot of us, we don't have a relationship to bring up. See, you got to be able to deal. When you go before God, you got to know who you're going to.
Yes, sir.
You know, you got to come expecting. When Hezekiah prayed this prayer, he wasn't just praying any old kind of prayer. He knew that the God he served could do whatever he wanted to do.
Yes, sir.
But he said, God, based upon how I've been towards you, based upon how I lived my life, based upon all the things that I have done as it relates to the word of God, I'm asking you to heal me.
All right.
He didn't say, Lord, after everything I've done now, Lord, if it be your will. Because he wanted to do what? Live. When we come and we have the service and we're dealing with healing, the first thing some folks will say was, well, I don't feel nothing. How come I didn't get delivered? Is that right? People on the outside looking in. Well, they had this service, but did it do anything?
That's right.
Did it have any impact? You kind of look beyond what the world is looking at. And understand this, that God's timetable ain't the same as our timetable.
All right.
But what we're concerned with, and when you're going to the heart of God at that moment, you're asking for forgiveness of your sins, which we did as we consecrated ourselves. And so what we were asking and what we wanted to see is a mighty hand of God move.
Yes, sir.
And we didn't leave no room for error, no ways out. We like, Lord, this is what we want. This is why we want it.
Yep.
And so God, after hearing Hezekiah's prayer, and then it didn't take much long after that either, did it? The Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Now, Isaiah just gave it to him, walked away. Hezekiah prayed, and it said, listen to this, though. I have walked before you faithfully. How many of us can say that? And with a wholehearted devotion. In other words, he's given everything. Even in the midst of his mess, he's given everything that he has. My wholehearted devotion, and I have done what is good in your eyes. And here's the kicker. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. In other words, he was truly sincere at what he was seeking from God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To the point that it was breaking him down, because he was not ready to die. He had more that he wanted to do, and he knew that the only way he was going to be able to do it was for God to grant it. So when we're praying for healing, we have to go with the assurance to know that God will and can heal us.
Yes.
We have to make sure that what we do before God is righteous in his eyes. So you're not going to be able to get the blessing that you want and you living outside of his will.
That's
If you're doing everything that you're big enough and bad enough to do, then all of a sudden, when it gets down to some healing, then you're like, Lord, okay, here I am. The Lord like, not so fast. How is it that when I need you to do something, you ain't never there? But now that you want me to do something, you want me right there, Johnny, on the spot. There is a relationship that must be built between us and God.
Right.
What does God want more than anything from us? Our worship.
Yes.
He wants the relationship. Do you think God wakes you up so that somebody else can have your attention? Do you think that God carries us day by day so somebody else can get all the adoration? God is doing everything that he can for you because he wants you to be close and reconciled with who? Him. So then when you come before him and say, Lord, I'm looking for a blessing, you know that a blessing is what? On the way.
Lord.
And now to move his heart, you're giving up something. He said that I walk before you faithfully. You're giving up something. When you're trying to move God in your direction, you're giving up something. We weren't just some leaders that came and said, okay, we're going to pray over y'all and anoint y'all, and we hadn't took care of our own selves.
That's right.
We hadn't fasted, we hadn't prayed, we hadn't done anything that would invoke God to even come in and hear from us as we pray for you. No, we had to give up something. Prayer, fasting, trying to move God's heart. Because if one thing I know about heart, about God, is that he has a heart for who? Us. So Hezekiah is given 15 more years. That's a major blessing. Now you, from going to die, get your house in order, to 15 years, and then not only will I give you 15 years, but if you read the story, I'm also going to take care of your country.
Yeah.
I'm also going to take care of your house so that you won't see the pain that I had promised you before. I didn't say it wasn't coming, but you ain't going to be able to see it because I'm going to give you your request. What you saw right here was the will of God being what? Moved in man's direction. So you can't say that God can't heal. You can't say that God don't have the power.
Right.
You can't always say, Lord, if it be, because if you say, Lord, if it be your will, then you leave it back in God's hands. See, when we want to move his heart, we got to pray like that.
Yes,
we got to come correct. Ain't that what they say? We got to live more upright. We got to do the right things. And then you say, well, Lord, so how do I do it myself? The principle is still laid before you. You want to hear from God's voice? You want God to move in your life? What are you sacrificing to move God in your direction? What are you giving up for God to hear you? Because if you're not sacrificing, if you're not giving nothing, if you're not participating, if you don't have a relationship, then why does God have to hear your cry? You just crying. Like the little boy who cried wolf. You crying and God is like, I hear you crying, but I don't see you talking. I don't see you walking. I don't see what you're doing. And remember, he's the one who has the power to do. Now, I'm thankful he's not a petty God. But remember that if I want to move him, I got to give up something. And then I have to be sincere in what I'm requesting. Amen? Now, Mark 11, 25, 26 says, and when you stay in praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you and your sins. So we trying to go for God on our behalf, but we hold something against our brother. We hold something against our sister. Now, how in the world can you go before God and say, Lord, I want you to bless me when you won't bless? How is it that you can say that you are a child of God, but your spirit says you have a spirit of the world? Lord, I want to bless them, but I don't want you to bless them. I'm not feeling well. If you could just touch me, but leave them sick. See, there's a whole lot of principles that are working here. Everybody understands that by his stripes we are healed. But you got to understand that there is a process of building relationship with God that would cause God to even move in your direction. That's why you need some fasting. That's why you need praying. That's why you need forgiveness. That's why you need to go before God with a humble spirit and say, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, remove it. That I might be able to hear from you. Because see, we all got little stuff from time to time that's sitting there, sitting right on our shoulder. Or those little issues and problems that we hold. You know, I need a healing, but I'm mad at my wife. I'm mad at my husband. I'm mad at my friend. I'm mad at my family. I'm mad at my mama. But Lord, if you could just heal me, maybe I wouldn't be so mad. You are trying to move a holy God's heart. And what this text tells us is that, remember now, Hezekiah was just a mere man. Nothing special. He like you and I. Man who moved God's heart. So what we did last week was to move God's heart in our direction. Not only that, just because the service is over, I'm still praying. And I'm sure we all are still praying for the prayers that we prayed, that Lord, you might still deliver. You know, we didn't just pray on Sunday and, well, that's it, I'm done. You know, you're on your own on that one. I went before God because I want my prayers to be heard. And so in order for them to be heard, I got to keep doing what I did in the first place to get me to where I am. Amen? I'm sure you still want your prayers, right? But now what I'm saying is that while I'm praying, and you start praying, and you start living right, and you start walking right before God's eyes, don't you think that there's a blessing that's coming? And you got to hold on to that. You can't lose the faith and say, well, Lord, it's been a month, it's been two, it's been 6 months. I'm still feeling the same way. Keep praying with expectation that you expect God to do and deliver. But understand this. If we can move the heart of God, sometimes no matter what we do, his will be done. I look at 2 Samuel 12. We find David had an affair with Bathsheba. Got her pregnant in the process. Killed her husband in the process. Now from this illicit behavior comes a child. And now David is told the child is going to die. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David and became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted. And he spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused and would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when he spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. And David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotion, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped.
Yes.
Then he went to his own house, and at that request, they served him food and he ate. So here we find that David has been told that his child is going to die. He realized the child is going to die based upon the wrong that he did. Now, even understanding that God has spoken, David still knew who God was. He goes on to say that I'm going to pray because what I'm trying to do now is move God's heart in my direction.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now he prayed and it said he fasted. He would not eat. He put on sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he was real sorry. He was real repentant for the wrong that he had done. And he was now trying to go to God with everything he had to say, Lord, it was my fault. Lord, if you could, Lord, remove this cup because I just want my child to live. He's trying to move God's heart. He understands that he can move God's heart. He knows because he has a relationship with God. He knows what God can do and what God can't do. And let me just tell you this. There is nothing that God can't do.
Yes, sir.
Amen? There ain't nothing that he can't handle. Ain't nothing that he can't fix. But you got to know this by having a relationship with him. So David, he is going all out praying for the child. But in the end, the child dies. All that you put into it, the child dies. Some things won't be changed. Some things won't be fixed. Some things are just set in stone and will happen for whatever reason. But that reason belongs to who? God. But we don't know that it's set in stone. So we keep praying. We keep pushing. We keep trying to move his heart. Because what we want is a blessing from the Lord. Now, at the end of this, because I've seen it a lot of times where folks are on their deathbed and folks are sick and people are praying and some are healed and some aren't healed. And those who aren't healed, folks get discouraged. But look at how David responds.
Come on.
The child has died. David finds out about it. He gets up, cleans himself up, asks for food, and begins to do what? Worship. Because he still knows that God is in control. They said, well, David, how in the world would not eat and you was praying and now the baby dead, you seem like everything's okay now. He said, when it was time to pray, I prayed. But when God had settled the situation, I had to move on. I got to put my focus back on things that still are relevant, things that still matter. I can't wallow in my pity and say, oh, woe is me. I realized I tried everything I could. It was not what God wanted. He still did what he did, and I worship him anyhow.
All right.
In despite of my loss, I worship. In despite of not moving his heart, I worship. Because remember, it was my fault in the first place. I worship. So everything that happens, if I don't move God's heart in my direction, does it mean I give up on God? No. I keep worshiping. Because if anybody got me, it's God. If I get 15 more years, God's got me. If I get one more day, God's got me. If I'm on this side, God's got me. If I'm on the other side, God got me. So it's no time to get down on yourself because things don't seem to be moving in your direction. You did what you could possibly do. You keep praying, but sometimes you're not going to get those prayers answered in your favor. And sometimes you will. I told you last week, favor ain't fair. God does what he wants to do. Told Job, where was you when I created everything that I created? He said, if you can tell me where you was, I'll give you the answer you're looking for. Job said, nah, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking about. What we do because God loves us. And God wants us to love him back just as strong. He's tired of the same old, same old. He wakes us up. He gives us life. He moves within us. He said, you know, how many times, and truthfully, let's ask ourselves, how many times do we fast and pray for anything? Now, we pray real quick, but fast? Stop eating. Stop watching TV. Turn scandal off. I ain't never even seen the show. But man, they talk about it like it's gold. You want to move his heart? Stay away from scandal for a while. Stay away from some food. Give up something. Stay away. Start doing something that's more beneficial to your life. Come off of Facebook for a while. Do some stuff. Give up something and say, Lord, I'm coming on my behalf trying to move your heart in my direction because I realize that you can. This year in 2013, I don't want it to be the same old year. I want to walk into what you have for me. I want to walk into whatever blessing you have designed for me. They sing, there's a blessing with your name on it. I don't know, but I just want a blessing. Amen. And I know that if I want to get that kind of blessing, I got to make sure that I'm walking upright in his eyes. I got to make sure I'm sacrificing and giving up. So, Lord, I want you to bless my family. I got to give up some stuff. I got to make sure that I'm staying in his word. I got to make sure I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm walking with God. I want God to hear from me. That means I got to give up. I got to put something forward. And then there's always the chance to say, Lord, not my will, but your will. But when you say that, understand that you're happy with whatever comes that way. David didn't say not your will. Hezekiah didn't say not your will. And there was one who was greater than anybody else. In the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes, sir.
Flesh at its best. He prayed to God. The Father, if you would remove this cup. That was his will. That's what he wanted to do. The Lord, I don't really want to die this day. I don't really want to pay this price. I don't really want to be humiliated like I know I'm about to be humiliated when I am the Son of God and I know I can stop all this. Father, I want this cup to be removed 2 times. I mean, he was serious. Jesus wasn't playing. I got, Lord, you mean to tell me I'm about to die for folks who don't even care about me? I'm about to hang on a cross for folks who will still spit in my face after I've already died for them. I'm going to die for folks who won't even call my name out. I'm going to die for a folk, my man Peter, who denied me 3 times. He was praying to get the cup removed. It come round number 3. All right, Lord, maybe you didn't hear them first 2 times. And I know you hear me because I got a relationship with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, once again, you got to understand who it is you're talking to. God heard every time Christ was praying. The third time, Lord, if you would remove this cup, I would be greatly appreciated if there's any other way we can do this thing. But then God spoke to him. And he understood at that point. That's when you can say, All right, Lord, not my will, but your will. Because what happens is when you can't move God's heart, it's because his will for what he's about to do is stronger than your need to fix your will. In other words, it doesn't pay to bend his will to you if it goes against his plan. If he has a plan that is set in stone, see, you don't know why it's set the way it is. Hezekiah didn't know why it was set the way it was. Only God knows, and that's why you go before God in prayer and try to move his heart, because you don't know the end of the story, but God does. He knows if he can deliver you now or delay it. Jesus went to the same way. Father, I know that you can stop this cup. But at the bottom line, he realized, not my will, but your will. In other words, I now realize that this is the only way. My father was dying. We prayed, Lord, please lift him up. But then I realized this was the only way. And after it was finished, what do? We worship. We're sitting right now on the brink of a blessing. Some of us are lost because the blessing ain't coming fast enough. And so we stop worshiping. We stop praising. That's not a time to stop praising. Jesus fulfilled his task because he realized that was God's will and that was the only way. He tried to move his father's heart. It did not work because the way was set in stone, because he had to deliver us. He said, if I give you any more time, what's going to happen to the children you came for? This one has to be done. Hezekiah, you know what? I hear your sincerity and I hear you crying, and I'm going to give you 15 more years. But just because he got 15 don't mean I'm going to get 15. See, you can't keep looking at everybody's stuff, because favor ain't fair. So therefore, you got to understand that, God, I'm coming before you based upon what I know about you. I know what you can do. I know what you will do. And right now, I'm just trying to appeal to that side that would benefit myself. But if benefiting myself don't benefit nobody else, it may not be a good thing to move his heart in my direction. What are you doing with your life that speaks volumes, that would give you extended time, that would give you that blessing you're looking for? Is it just for yourself? The Bible says that Hezekiah's salvation was also the salvation of his people, his kingdom. God blessed the whole. It wasn't just Hezekiah. Well, you fine, but everything else is jacked up. Look at the whole story. There is more to the process. So when God heals me, it's because somebody else is about to be blessed. When God took it away from Jesus, because somebody else would have lost the blessing. Because Christ stayed, because he gave up to God's will, we were blessed. So what we do, we don't take lightly. When we pray to move God's heart. But even in prayer, when he speaks to you, and you know it's not going to change, let his will be done. And you keep worshiping him. You keep praising God anyhow until your last breath is gone. Until you just have to keep living with that malady. Paul prayed 3 times for a thorn to be removed from his flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient. So learn to live whatever it is that you have, but keep praising God. Because in your praise, there's glory. In your praise, there's healing. In your praise is his presence. So if it can't get you down, then what you think is a problem is no longer a problem, because Your perspective changes. And now you know that God is in control. I'm going to walk with him whether he heals me or not. Uh-huh. I'm going to stay in his grace, in his presence, because I know that he loves me. That's the heart of God. The heart of God is there for us to navigate this walk. Everything ain't going to work on our behalf. And then there are some things that are going to work on our behalf every time. But whether it's working or it's not working, give God some glory. Amen. Give him some praise. Amen. And you keep on worshiping him. And in his time, God's going to fix everything. Fast, pray, give up something, try to move God's heart. If you can't move God's heart, then understand that this time is not my will, but your will, Father. Then if that's the case, let me learn how to walk in your will. That's what Christ did. Now, if it's your will, let me learn how to walk. And he did it like nobody else ever could. Because he stayed on the cross. He never came down. There was a stranger on the cross next to him. Took him with him. Then he went down to the grave, set the captives free. Then they say he got up early on Sunday morning. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. So God was right. This time, you got to drink the cup, because there's too many folks depending on you. So sometimes it may not be a deliverance in the healing process, because there's too many folks still depending on you in your circumstance. Another time you may be delivered because there's folks depending on your deliverance. The heart of God, I'm thankful that he loves us each and every day, in spite of ourselves. The doors of the church are open tonight.